जय राधा माधवा कुंज बिहारी, जय राधा माधवा कुंज बिहारी, जय गोपी जन बल्लभवा गिरिवर धारी, जय गोपी जन बल्लभवा गिरिवर धारी, यशोदा नंदना ब्रज जन रंजना, यशोदा नंदना ब्रज जन रंजना, जमुना तीरावन चारी, जमुना तीरावन चारी, जय राधा माधवा कुंज बिहारी, जय राधा माधवा कुंज बिहारी, जय गोपी जन बल्लभवा गिरिवर धारी, यशोदा नंदना ब्रज जन रंजना, यशोदा नंदना ब्रज जन रंजना, यशोदा नंदना ब्रज जन रंजना, जमुना तीरावन चारी, जय राधा माधवा कुंज बिहारी, जय गोपी जन बल्लभवा गिरिवर धारी, यशोदा नंदना ब्रज जन रंजना, जमुना तीरावन चारी, जय राधा माधवा कुंज बिहारी, हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे रामा हरे रामा 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 हरे हरे, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jaya Kishor Kishori, Jaya Kishor Kishori, Jaya Kishor Kishori, Jaya Kishor Kishori. Jaya Jagatnatha, Jagatnatha, Baladeva Jaya Subhadra. Jaya Gauranitai, 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 Jaya Gauranitai. Jaya Jaya Prabhupada, 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 Jaya Jaya Prabhupada. Jaya Jaya Prabhupada, 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 Jaya Jaya Prabhupada. Jaya Om Vishnu Pad Paramhansa, Parivajaka Acharya Shruto Shata, Shri Srimad, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Granth Raj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, All glories to assembled devotees, all glories to assembled devotees, all glories, all glories, all glories to Guru and Gauranga. Narayanam namaskritya naram chevam narottamam devim sarasvatim vyasam tato jaye mudire nashte prayeshu abhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Ruttam Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Nashtaki Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Hare Krishna. So we are reading from Canto 8, Chapter 8, titled The Churning of the Milk Ocean, text number 15 to 18. So let's chant text number 15 together. Samudra Pita Kausheya Samudra Pita Kausheya Vashashi Samu Faradrat Vashashi Samu Farad Varuna Shrijam Vajayantiyam Madhuna Mata Satpadam Samudra Pita Kausheya Vashashi Samufarad Varuna Shrijam Vajayantiyam Madhuna Mata Satpadam Samudra Pita Kausheya Vashashi Samupaharat Varuna Srajam Vajayantim Madhuna Mata Satpadam Samudra Pita Kausheya Vashashi Shamupara Varuna Shrijam Vajayantim Madhuna Mata Satpadam Samudra Pita Kausheya Vashashi Shamupara Varuna Shrijam Vajayantim Madhuna Mata Satpadam Samudra Pita Kausheya Vashashi Shamupara Varuna Shrijam Vajayanti Madhuna Mata Satpadam Samudra, the ocean, Pita Kausheya, yellow silk, Vashasi, both the upper and lower portions of a garment. Samupaharat, presented, Varuna, the predominating deity of the water. Shrijam, garland, Vijayantim, the most decorated and the biggest. Madhuna, with honey, Mata, drunken, Satpadam, bumblebees which have six legs. Translations and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. The ocean, which is the source of all valuable jewels, supplied the upper and lower portions of a yellow silken garment. The predominating deity of the water, Varuna, presented flower garlands surrounded by six-legged bumblebees drunken with honey. Purport. When bathing the deity in the Abhishek ceremony with various liquids such as milk, honey, yogurt, ghee, cow dung, and cow urine, it is customary to supply yellow garments. In this way, the Abhishek ceremony for the goddess of fortune was performed according to the regular Vedic principles. Text number 16. Vishwakarma, one of the Prajapatis, supplied varieties of decorated ornaments. The goddess of learning, Saraswati, supplied a necklace. Lord Brahma supplied a lotus flower. And the inhabitants of Nagaloka supplied earrings. Text number 17. Thereafter, Mother Lakshmi, the goddess of fortune, having been properly celebrated with an auspicious ritualistic ceremony, began moving about, holding in her hand a garland of lotus flowers, which were surrounded by humming bumblebees. Smiling with shyness, her cheeks decorated by her earrings, she looked extremely beautiful. Purport. The goddess of fortune, Mother Lakshmiji, accepted the ocean of milk as her father, but she perpetually rests on the bosom of Narayana. She offers benedictions even to Lord Brahma and other living entities in this material world. Yet she is transcendental to all material qualities. Although she appeared to have been born out of the ocean of milk, she immediately resorted to her eternal place on the bosom of Narayana. Text number 18. Her two breasts, which were symmetrical and nicely situated, were covered with sandalwood pulp and kumkum powder, and her waist was very thin. As she walked here and there, her ankle bells jingling softly, she appeared like a creeper of gold. Om Agyantimarandhasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshuran Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vancha Kalpati Rubhasya Kripa Sindhu Baya Evacha Patitanam Pavane Bhyo Vaishnave Bhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advait Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So Samudra Pita Kausheya Vashashi Samufarat Varuna Shri Jam Vajayantem Madhuna Mata Satpadam. The ocean, which is the source of all valuable jewels, supplied the upper and lower portions of a yellow silken garment. The predominating deity of the water, Varuna, presented flower garlands surrounded by six-legged bumblebees drunken with honey. So for last few weeks, we have been reading these two chapters, the previous chapter and chapter number 8, in which the process of churning of milk ocean is being described. So I have heard in some of the previous classes, the process had been explained in detail. So we will try to focus on these three or four verses which we are reading today. So, practically all of you have seen that on festival days, especially on the appearance days of their lordships, we perform Abhishek ceremony. So, why we do that? And how we do it? So, that is the little important thing for us to understand. So, generally, you have seen on Gaur Purnima, Narsingh Chaturdashi, Janmashtami, Radha Ashtami, Ram Navami, we do the Abhishek. So this is basically to honor the Supreme Personality of Godhead and his eternal consort. So basically, it is for the pleasure of their lordship that we perform these ceremonies. So Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur says that we should decorate and worship their lordships in such a way that not only we are looking at them, but the deities are also looking at us. So the purpose of performing devotional activities is to attract their lordship in such a way that we are under their glance. So now it is normally when we look at it at the ceremony of Abhishek, it can be under material circumstances when we look at it can be a little bit awkward. Imagine yourself sitting on a place and people are pouring all kind of liquids on you. Somebody comes and pours a bucket of honey on you, so you are all covered with honey. Or somebody comes and pours a bucket of milk or yogurt or ghee, and imagine cow dung and urine. So and so many people are clapping and singing and dancing when all this ceremony is going. So that kind of a situation can be a little bit awkward. But here, it is when we are looking at it from the devotional perspective, it is entirely different. All these items which we are talking about, milk, ghee, yogurt, honey, cow dung, urine, they are all very dear to their lordships. So when we are offering these items to their lordships with devotion and for their pleasure, they are pleased. And as I said, when they are pleased, they are not only they are appreciating it, but they are enjoying the ceremony. So Srila Prabhupada gave a lot of importance to Abhishek ceremony. So I was listening to a class where it was mentioned that when Srila Prabhupada wanted Shaligram Shilas to be installed in Western world, he gave very specific instructions. So is everybody familiar with Shaligram Shilas? So these are special Shilas, or special, you can say in English if we have to translate them, special rocks which are found in a particular river in Nepal. I think the name of the river is Gandak River. Correct? Does anybody remember? I think it is Gandak River, where these special rocks are found. So, and worshipping them is like worshipping a deity. Basically, they represent deities. And when you have a Shaligram Shila at your home or in the temple, they have to be installed. They have to be installed properly, and they have to be worshipped in a proper Brahminical way. So there is an interesting story which I can share with you about Shaligram Shilas and how devotional service, can influence what you do with them. So it's a very interesting story. Some of you might have heard it also. This is about Gopal Bhatt Goswami. So he was visiting Nepal, and he was keen to, he had a desire to bring Shaligram Shila with him so that he could worship them. So he went in the river and he took a bath, and then he picked up the Shila and kept in his bag. And then he wanted to bring them along with him to Vrindavan, where he lived. But as he did this action, somehow he felt that he is not qualified enough to worship a Shaligram Shila. So he decided to put them back in the river. So he took out the Shila from his bag and put it back in the water of the river. And the Shila jumped back into his bag. He again picked it up and put it back in the water, and the Shila again jumped and came in the bag. So then he decided that this is what the desire of the Supreme Lord is, and then he brought the deities or the Shila back with him to Vrindavan, where he worshipped them in the proper Vedic way. Another interesting thing related to this is, so he was worshipping the Shila every day, regularly, and because he was one of the great Goswamis of Vrindavan, so a lot of people would come to him and donate jewelry and dresses, etc., to Gopal Bhatt Goswami. So, and he would collect them, but he didn't know what to do because it was a Shila and he couldn't decorate the Shila in the normal way like a deity. So one day in the evening, he was thinking very intensely about it, that if he had deities with him, he would dress them so beautifully with all the jewelry and dresses which have been collected over a period of time. So next day, when he got up, the Shila had turned into a deity. So imagine, you know, his happiness, that something which he thought of or he had been thinking about for so many days, and he slept with that thought, and next in the morning, it turned out to be true. So this is the mercy of their lordship, and also to fulfill the intense desire of their devotee, that the lordship, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, manifested as in his form. And still that deity is still there in Vrindavan, in Radharaman temple. It's one of the ancient temples in Vrindavan, where still, this is what I heard from various previous our you know, sannyasis, that they still follow the same correct Vedic procedures to worship the deities. It is one of the very few temples besides ISKCON temple. That's where they do that. So when ISKCON temple was inaugurated in Vrindavan, Srila Prabhupada made sure that the priests from Radharaman temple were invited, because they were the one who were really performing the ceremony properly. So when Srila Prabhupada decided that Shaligram Shilas could come to Western world and they could be installed in ISKCON temples, so he instructed the pujaris there, or brahmanas in those temples, that they should bathe them with water, then add a little bit of rose water, chandan, that is sandalwood, and tulsi leaves. And then one could draw a face on the shila with chandan, and you know, offer it a dhoti, chadar, and crown, also a flute, and so on. So, but that was a very simple way of performing the abhishek on the Shila. We have here this tadiya of Narsingdev. It came, earlier we were worshipping it as if we were worshipping a Shaligram Shila, but at some stage this thing was corrected, that it is not Shaligram Shila, so it shouldn't be worshipped that way. Because worshipping, like I mentioned earlier, worshipping a Shaligram Shila is like worshipping the deity, and it has to be done in a proper way. So the devotees in the Western world, when they got the Shilas, they were very, very excited. So they started with the simple abhishek, but they wanted to do more elaborate abhishek, because it is such a nice ceremony, and it's a very, very intimate ceremony. When we are doing this on a festival like Gaur Purnima or Janmashtami, the priest or the devotees, they are doing the abhishek, and everybody is enjoying and watching it, and they are also participating in it. But we perform abhishek every day. The small deities of Radha Krishna and Gaur Nithai, every day we perform the abhishek. So then it is just a very intimate you know, activity between the deity and the priest, the pujari, who is performing this. So the pujaris were very excited and they wanted to learn how they can perform more elaborate service. So Srila Prabhupada referred them to Jnanivas Prabhu, who is the head priest in Mayapur. So, and then he told them the big list of offerings which can be done when performing the Abhishek. And then when I was hearing, it said that it took more than 2 hours to perform the Abhishek properly. But yet the priest and the devotees were very keen and very, very excited to do that. And the reason of, I could understand because I have been doing this service for some time, so I could relate to their excitement and happiness, that bathing the deities is a really very good experience. You know, it's very intimate and it gives you also the opportunity to be with them, bathe them, then dress them, worship them. So it's really very nice and intimate experience. So it is also said that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also used to, he had a shaligram shila of from Giri Govardhan. So he used to worship their shila, bathe it, and you know, in the normal ritualistic way, he would be performing the Abhishek every day. So doing the Abhishek is honoring and pleasing to the deities. Is that. Now, the other very important thing, which when I was hearing this class, I heard and I am ready to share with you, is that we perform devotional activities. All of us do that in some way or the other, and to best of our capabilities, we engage in devotional activities. And we also engage in committing offenses, correct? You know, knowingly or sometimes unknowingly. But I can speak for myself that even knowingly, we engage without any hesitation in different kind of offenses. So it says that on one hand, we are trying to please the deities by engaging ourselves in devotional activities, but on the other hand, if we are committing offenses, it is like beating the deities with a stick. It is so severe. So imagine, when I heard this thing, I was really quite disturbed, because number of times when we are thinking of other devotees and we are committing mental offenses and sometimes even otherwise, it is such a serious offense. So Srila Prabhupada says that if we commit an offense unto the deity, that could be, we could be pardoned for that, that could be forgiven if we worship like we are chanting regularly and so on. So the offenses which have been committed unto the deities, they can be forgiven by them. But if offenses are committed unto a Vaishnav, it's very difficult. Even Krishna will not forgive you for that. So you have to actually seek forgiveness from the person to whom this offense has been committed. So so this is a kind of caution that it is nice to engage in deity worship, it is nice to engage in devotional service, but at the same time, we have to be also extremely careful that we lead our life in such a way, we conduct ourselves in such a way that we are not offending other Vaishnavas by our behavior. So, so here in our temple, when we perform the Abhishek, we are honoring the deities, we are offering them items which are dear to them. And after the ceremony is complete, we honor the Charanamrita. Every day in the morning after Shringara Arati, all the devotees, we line up for Charanamrita. So that is also something which is coming to us as the prasadam from their lordships. So that is another benefit for us in this ceremony, that we are getting the sweet Charanamrita, which is like a nectar for us coming to us. Then if we go back to the purport in verse number 15, it also refers to cow dung and cow urine. So normally everybody knows that stool and urine are not something, you know, which we have to honor as such. So but when it comes to cow dung and cow urine, they are very, very special. They are so special that even Krishna is willing to be bathed in those. So they have such purification effect. We keep cow dung. We have cow dung in our pujari room. And I remember once we transported something, some mud or something in our temple van. And after that, the devotees were cleaning the van, and then they took cow dung from here to purify, to make sure that the vans are clean and pure, so that when we are transporting other stuff like prasadam, etc., in it, it is not contaminated. So, why is it so? Why we say that cow dung is different than other type of stool? So here is a very important matter which we have to pay close attention, because our scriptures say so. So here, the authority of the scriptures has to be accepted. There are so many things which we hear and read, and if we try to reason with them or try to question them, it will be very hard to understand them. But then there are certain things which are prescribed or given by our scriptures, and they have to be accepted as it is, without any controversy or without any discussions or without any questions. So cow dung is one of such things. Now, of course, this is what our scriptures say, which were written thousands and thousands of years ago. In recent years, a lot of scientists have been conducting research on these items, on cow dung, cow urine, and so on, because there are people and devotees who drink cow urine on a regular basis, because it is supposed to be healthy. It's supposed to cure one from many ailments and problems, etc. So scientists were curious to find out, and they are, you know, research is going on still. And some of the researches which have been conducted in the past had confirmed the medicinal value and the medicinal properties of cow urine. So in other words, whatever scriptures say is not without any basis. The only thing is that sometimes we do not have that knowledge, nor our scientists have that knowledge. But gradually, and it is not only true for cow urine, it is true for many, many other things. For example, universe, when we talk about galaxies in the universe and so on, the scientists admit that the knowledge which they have is very, very minimal. They have, just like if you look on a scale of 1 to 100, they may know only, you know, maybe 2% or 3% of what exists. And that is also a speculation, because they say that what exists in this universe, they have no idea about it. But our scriptures, they give us an idea about it. Now, for us, we are really fortunate in that respect, that Srila Prabhupada has presented those scriptures to us in a way that we can easily understand them. And ideally, we should be following them, and we should have full faith and trust in the teachings and the words of our scriptures. So going by that, cow dung and cow urine is a very purifying, they are very purifying substances, and they are used in religious Vedic ceremonies for purification purpose. Then in the next few verses, it is explained that when the goddess of fortune, Lakshmi, appeared, all the demigods, the devatas who were there, they presented her something. It is like very customary thing when a personality such as Lakshmi ji appears, or even for that matter, you know, we see sannyasis coming here, we see elevated persons, personalities coming to a temple, we like to honor them, we like to welcome them. And if you have a guest at your home, let's say a VIP comes at your home, then you would like to offer them something. So we make a offering here by offering them garland, correct? If we have a sannyasi or a, you know, senior Vaishnava visiting us here in the temple, and also to the deities, you know, on a regular basis, we offer them garlands. So Radhanath Maharaj says that offering the garland is such a nice experience, because for several people, not only for just the person who's offering the garland, but imagine the person who has been involved in growing the flowers, the person who transported the flowers, the person who's making the garland. For him, it is a very, very satisfying experience, because the activity in which he or she is involved, the garland he or she is making is going to go on the, is going to decorate the deities. So we have Rohini Mataji and Vishwakarma Prabhu's family. They have been making garlands here for years together. So, sometimes because of my service, I speak to Rohini Mataji about garlands. And she, I see the way she speaks about making garlands is very, very unique. It is so personal and must be very satisfying for her, because she takes really very personal interest and pains to make sure that the garlands are done properly for the deities. And imagine also for the pujari who is decorating the deities with those garlands, it must be really a great experience. So all this process is for, we are trying to please the deity, but in return, we are also getting a lot of satisfaction. We are also getting a lot of sukriti in serving their lordship. And this is exactly what is being described here in these verses, that Vishwakarma, Lord Brahma, Goddess Saraswati, they are all offering gifts to the goddess of fortune, Lakshmi Devi. And it goes on describing her features and how nice and beautiful she is, etc. And in the next few verses, which we'll be doing later on, it describes that what was the impact of her appearance on all those who were present during the churning of ocean. So I would stop here and invite questions, discussions, corrections, comments. Yes, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Thank you for your class. The first point you brought up at the beginning of class caught my attention was, we were mentioning when we were bathing the deities or performing devotional service in general, but you mentioned the Abhishek ceremony where it's not that we're trying to see the Lord, you know, we're trying to do it in such a way that the Lord is see us. And of course, that's what Bhaktisiddhanta mentioned. I kind of like the way he put it in the Bhaktisiddhanta Vaibhav. The chapter is called Seeing versus Seer, where Bhaktisiddhanta is quoted. And I like the way it was put. If I can remember, it says something to the extent of, we should not think of the Supreme Lord as an object of our vision. Instead, we should meditate on how we could acquire some qualification to become worthy objects of his vision.
Yeah.
So I really appreciated what it was put. And this kind of reminds me of an incident that happened recently. One devotee, he was speaking to me the other day, and he was essentially saying, you know, I haven't chosen my spiritual master yet, or something about choosing a spiritual master. And so my understanding based on this statement was that we don't choose our spiritual master, our spiritual master chooses us. In my case, you know, it's a special case. My brother chose my spiritual master for me, so I can only speak of it theoretically. So my questions and comments is kind of in this regard, is that I was kind of joking with this one devotee. It's not that we, because how are we supposed to get the, my understanding what I was speaking with him is that, how are we supposed to get the attention of some great spiritual master when there's like millions of people surrounding him? Mm-hmm. Look at me, look at me. And so my explanation, or what I've understood from the teachings, is that I kind of joke with them. I said the spiritual master also has a Twitter account in his heart. Mm-hmm. And if you perform your devotional service properly, you know, not trying to get attention, then Krishna send him a tweet.
Yes.
And saying, so can you expand on those points a little bit?
It's a very interesting incident I would like to share with you, which actually goes on the same lines what you are explaining. There was a person in Bombay, in Juhu, who was blind. And he would come to the temple every day. Every single day, he would come to the temple. And people would see him, he will come there, he will spend some time, he will sit there, he will chant, and then go. So, somebody came to him and asked him. I said, I see you that you have been coming here for years. So he said, yes, I don't remember for how many years I have been coming here, but I try to come here every day. Then he said, and have you been blind all these years? So he said, yes, I'm blind by birth. So I couldn't see anything ever since I came in this material world. So he said, still you come here every day, you cannot see the deities. So what brings you here? You cannot see them. He said, I cannot see them, but they can see me. And that's why I come. So this is the mood of a devotee, that it is not just that we want to see the Lord, we want also to reciprocate with the Lord, that the Lord also sees us. So this was very, very touching thing, that a person who is deprived of this eyesight, which is such a... just try to imagine yourself for half an hour, you know, tie a cloth, a strip of cloth on your eyes for half an hour and see how the life would be. And this person who has been blind all his life is coming on a regular basis to the temple and offering his, you know, services to their lordships. The other point which you asked about the spiritual master, I'm reminded of what Lord Chaitanya said, that first we have to take shelter of Krishna. How do we know, or how the Lord helps us in our devotional life? You know, we always hear that if we take one step towards Krishna, he takes 10 steps towards us. Right? So in other words, he is ready to help us with in our this so-called devotional or spiritual journey. So how does he help you? So first you take shelter, or you have desire to know about Krishna, and then Krishna makes the arrangement of bringing you in contact with a spiritual master who will tell you more, who will bring Krishna to you, who will explain all about Krishna to you. So this is the process of getting to know Krishna and coming in contact with the spiritual master who is going to tell you all about Krishna. So it is a desire in your heart which is being recognized by Krishna, and then Krishna is making the arrangement for you to come in contact with a elevated soul who is going to give you all the knowledge about Krishna. Let us, sometimes we don't do that, most of us takes things for granted. But if you try to imagine or try to analyze that why and how certain things happen in our lives, then you will find that there is somebody whom we don't know, has played a role in it. So we call it that, you know, it was unseen hands of their lordships. So, and it always happens. So many, even you were specifically talking about choosing a spiritual master or spiritual master choosing you. If you try to look at that process, you will find that on your own, you couldn't have achieved it. So, the Supreme Personality of Godhead made it happen for you. Though he did not come and says, okay, Prabhu, here is the name of your spiritual master. Go and see him tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock. No, he did not do that. But he arranged the circumstances around you in such a way that you come in contact with your spiritual master. I can share with you something personal, which is very interesting. But I like to share it because it really reflects what we are discussing. I've been going to a bhakti vriksha for several years in IIT, Illinois Institute of Technology. I used to live on South Side, and that's where I started, I could say, my, you know, spiritual journey. So it used to take place on Saturdays or Sundays at some time. I don't remember exactly now, because it has been many, many years ago. This incident happened about 7 or 8 years ago. So my son, he was living in Washington, D.C. at that time. And he was moving house after completion of his education. So he did not specifically ask me and my wife to come and help him, but we volunteered, let us say. But there was one, little bit of, you can say, cause of unhappiness that I'm going to miss the Bhakti Vriksha. Because I was very keen to attend each and every, program, and thinking that I'll be not here on that day was a little bit of, not such a great thing for me. So, but we said, okay, this is also a responsibility one has to fulfill. So we said, okay, what to do? It's one of those situations. Now here, this has happened to me only once in my life. I get a message from a devotee in Washington. I don't know him. I didn't know him at all until that time. I get a message from, email comes from the devotee. It is addressed not only to me, but several other devotees in Chicago area, that His Holiness Ramapad Maharaj will be in Washington area from this date to this date, and these are his programs during that period. Can you believe it was during that same period when I was going to be there? So I went, I said, oh wow, this is nice. I'm going to miss Bhakti Vriksha, but Maharaj's program is there. I can go and meet him there. I can go and attend the program over there. So it is a compensation for not being here. So we went to Washington, D.C. We called the devotee who had sent the email, and made arrangement, and he said, okay, you can take the train to such and such station, somebody will be there to pick you up and then bring you to the program, and so on. And that happened. We had the opportunity to talk to Maharaj also, and so on. And after 2 days, we came home. Like I said earlier, this kind of an email from a devotee in Washington, I never received after that. It's not that Maharaj has stopped going to Washington. He still goes to Washington. He still would do home programs and so on. But I have never received any email after that. And before that also I had never received. So now when I try to look at it, this is not something which I did. This is not something which, I can think of anybody who did. It is some unseen, hand who arranged this for their devotee to send that kind of an email that invited me to go to Washington. Well, not exactly that, but at least when I'm in Washington, there was an invitation to go and attend Maharaj's program. So these are things which happen and which the Supreme Personality of Godhead arranges. So that depends on our desire and our trust and faith in Him that all these things take place. So I hope this explains to some extent, how one can kind of try to understand that, oh, should I take the biodata of all the spiritual masters and then choose one? Or what should I do? It will happen, Prabhu. Yes, Prabhu.
I have a question about the deities. Mm-hmm. You mentioned that the small deities of Kishore, Kishori, and Gaur Nitai, they get Abhishek, and both the large deities and the small deities get dressed and things. And I'm wondering, what's the proper understanding of the relationship between the small deities and the large deities, and how we are to approach the deities? And when we're offering prayers, I mean, is there a difference between offering prayers to the smaller deities or to the larger deities?
No, there is no difference that way. So let me explain to you. First of all, we are doing this service on behalf of our spiritual master. Because on our own, we are not qualified enough to approach the deities and offer them the service. We commit, like I said, we commit so many offenses, and we are not at that platform where we can offer service to Krishna directly. So this is a responsibility or a task which has been delegated to us by our spiritual master. So on behalf of our spiritual master, we perform all the such activities. If you will, when we make an offering to their lordships, I don't know if you have learned that yet or not. But when we make an offering to their lordships, even at home, we offer, we make the offering on behalf of our spiritual master. For those who are not yet initiated, the offering is made on behalf of Srila Prabhupada. We chant mantras in such a way that the offering is being made on behalf of Srila Prabhupada, or if we are initiated, then on behalf of our spiritual master, and in the disciplic succession. It is not that, okay, I simply say that, okay, I'm offering this on behalf of my spiritual master, but on behalf of my spiritual master, my spiritual master offers to his spiritual master, and in the disciplic succession, we make the offering. So here also, when it comes to doing worship, deity worship, it is an activity being done on behalf of our spiritual master. So that is one part of your question, correct? The second part, the small deities and both big deities, we make the offering, or we treat them the same way. The deities are deities. It is not, they are small and the other one are big for some specific purpose. Like in the temple, the big deities are dressed and they decorate them nicely so that people who are coming here, they get attracted. Kishore Kishori are very attractive anyway. They are, it is said that they are among the most beautiful deities in the whole world. And another thing which I learned, that they, in their size, they are also one of the, the largest in United States. The largest one are in Houston, and I think these are the second largest ones. I was told by somebody, I didn't know until very recently, it was told to me by somebody. So we worship them in the same way. They are, certain deities who can go out, like in some temples, when there are festivals, the small deities will come out. In Prabhupada also recommended that, when we are doing Abhishek and so on, so the small deities can be easily moved, and we can perform the ceremony there. In Mayapur, we have big deities of Panchtattva. So they are Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda, Advaita Acharya, Gadadhar Pandit, and Srivas Pandit. They are big, huge deities. They perform Abhishek of those deities also. Not every day, but on very special occasions, they do that. So the Abhishek is performed even for big deities on special days. Here, we do not do that. Here, for last 2 years, we have been doing Pushpa Abhishek on Radha Ashtami Day. So there, we do the Abhishek for the big deities also. Is your entire question answered, or there is something still missing? Okay, thank you. Any other comments or questions? Jitendra Prabhu wants to give the final statement.
When I was in India, see the cows in like Delhi or what, you know, some other city, and they were eating garbage, you know, like, there was so much garbage everywhere, and they're eating like plastic bags and stuff. And then I'm thinking, well, you know, cow dung's pure, you know, the stool's pure, you know, but, you know, like originally our consciousness is pure. And I was thinking, well, you know, and the material world is filled with contamination. So I was thinking, you know, it's kind of perplexing to my mind that, you know, that the cow dung, like when we were in New Vrindavan just recently, you know, I could see that, you know, they had big bales of hay for them, you know, and everything was, you know, sanitized. But, you know, they're eating plastic bags and all kinds of, you know, because they don't discriminate on what they eat. So I'm thinking, well, you know, what goes in, you know, it's, you know. So I don't know if you have any comment on that, Prabhu.
Yeah. Like you said, it is Kali Yuga, Prabhu. You normally say that. And, you know, there are certain, not maybe specifically to the point which you have raised, but Kali Yuga brings with it so many inherent things which are very, very, you know, disturbing. And if we think about them, it is really, you know, the relationships, for example, the way we treat saints and brahmanas in the community now. It is said in Srimad Bhagavatam that a society will prosper if it honors and protects brahmanas, women, children, old people, and cows. That's the society which will prosper. So now we are all passing through a very difficult phase, isn't it? I mean, we cannot say that we are prospering, even though materialistically it may appear that, okay, you know, till yesterday I was using i6 phone, now i7 has come, so there is a prosperity. Or, you know, earlier there were no internet and now we can use it and all that. So in those respects, we can say that we are prospering. But in reality, when we look at the happiness of a person, the real happiness of a person, I really wonder how many people can say that we are very happy today. And I often have this discussion with my friends that if we go back to our childhood days and we look at the lives of our parents and look at our life, would we say that we are happier than our parents? I think very few people will be able to say that. Because though our parents did not have iPhones, they did not have internet, but they were very, very peaceful. Their life was much more satisfying than our lives with, you know, iPhone in one hand and laptop in the other hand and all the, you know, Wi-Fi everywhere. Still, our lives are not at all satisfying. So why this is happening? Because we are not following the injunctions and the instructions given in our scriptures. And it goes to what you said, we are not, somebody said, you know, why we have so much of bad weather, for example. You know, some we have rains and floods and things like that in some places. In Chicago, it will snow like hell. We just have to wait for a few more months and so on. Why is it happening? And somebody said very innocently, you know, we are killing so many cows. So we should be ready for these kind of things happening in our lives. If, you know, we are living in that environment, we are going to have the reactions of all the activities which we are doing without thinking about them. So This is what it is, Prabhu.
So you were saying about the happiness of your parents and happiness of present day people is different?
I will say our parents were happier than people now. And as and I fully agree with what our scriptures say, that as Kali Yuga progresses, people will be in more anxiety, there will be more distress and more disturbances also in their lives. So this is the point I was trying to make, that people 50 years earlier were happier and more satisfied than people today, in spite of having all the so-called, you know, prosperity items, they were happier than us.
Yes, I remember reading something to that effect, but we also say that happiness is just an illusion, in a sense that it's, you know, the modes of nature that they're, you know, engaging in. So that's not real happiness. Real happiness is the happiness of the, you know, self-realization. So, you know, you can ask, they asked Prabhupada, are you happy? And he reflected and he says, yes, I am happy, you know. And, but for most people, you know, you give them some alcohol or something and they got that happy glow. You know, they have that happy glow. But that's just an illusion, you know.
That's true. Of course, in the real sense, when we are talking about happiness, then only the spirituality or the devotional service can bring you permanent happiness. But for a moment, to understand how the life is progressing in Kali Yuga, even if we try to look at the thing in a material way, even there also it is failing. Even there also we cannot say that materially also people are becoming happier now. Otherwise, if materialistic society is happy, why would we need, why so many more people have mental illnesses? See, we can talk of America, for example. It is, when we look at the material possessions, this is really a great place. You know, you can think of practically anything and you can have it, correct? But still, when you go to, if you want to take an appointment with a psychiatrist, you will get an appointment after 3 months. He's so busy. Why so many, if they are, people are so happy because of the material possessions, why do they need to go to a psychiatrist? So as Kali Yuga is progressing, we are, all of us material, you know, this conditioned souls, we are passing through the same process of anxiety, and it is becoming more and more and bigger and bigger. So in that respect, I say to everybody that we are very, very fortunate that we came in contact with somebody who brought us, who introduced us to Krishna consciousness. Because then you realize, I'm just repeating practically what you said, that then only we realize that what real happiness means. Mm-hmm. And then we can try to work on it, to not only make ourselves happy, but also to pass on that happiness to others. Srila Prabhupada has made the programs in such a way. Srila Prabhupada has provided the temples. Srila Prabhupada has provided his books. Srila Prabhupada has provided us so many avenues to pass on that happiness to other disturbed souls.
Like recently in Back to Godhead, there was an article. It was about this song made by the Rolling Stones, I Can't Get No Satisfaction. And, you know, I always thought about that, you know, if you ever heard the song. But then in the article it says they're trying to find satisfaction where there is no satisfaction. So there's an article in the BTG within the last few years. But I thought that was kind of interesting that they explained it in that way. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much, Prabhu. Thank you. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Hare Krishna.